Well, good morning, Covenant Life, and to the friends who are joining us. If you had asked me a month ago what Easter 2020 was going to be like with a million guesses, I wouldn't have guessed this. But it is such a privilege in this unique time to be able to spend this hour together, because I think we're in a time where we're all looking for some good news. We're all looking for some hope. And what a privilege to be able to be here with you in whatever way we can to be able to say the message that is the only message that brings us true and real hope, and that is that Christ is risen. So as we're in a season where it feels like things are changing almost daily, what a particular privilege it is to come together and remember this truth that anchors us and that has anchored Christian hope since the very beginning. This morning, we are actually starting off a new sermon series through the book of 1 Peter. And again, months ago, as we prayed and planned for what to preach through this year, we had no idea, obviously, that coronavirus is coming. But I can't imagine a book of the Bible that's a better fit for what we're walking through right now than the book of 1 Peter. This series is called Living Hope. And those words really sum up what this book in 1 Peter is all about. So let me tell you just a little bit about this book before we dive in. This was written by the Apostle Peter, who was the person that most people would say was the primary leader of the early church. He was sort of a leader among leaders. And we'll actually talk a little bit more about who he was a bit later. But he writes to a group of churches in a region that is now modern-day Turkey. And the churches in that region are going through suffering. And particularly, they're going through these trials because of their faith. They're being persecuted. And as a result, they are feeling the impacts in their family life. They're being affected economically. Their relationship with governing authorities has gotten a little bit tricky. And so they're in this environment having to sort out how do they live as Christians, as people who trust in and follow Jesus, in an environment where so much is changing and where they're experiencing opposition and difficulty on so many fronts. And I think in many ways, you and I are trying to sort out our own version of similar sufferings for different reasons, under different general circumstances. But I think we're all feeling the pressures in a number of similar areas. And so the Apostle Peter writes to these churches, and you could say he writes to us to help us sort all this out. And in the weeks to come, we'll see he gets very practical. He gets into these day-to-day real-life issues like family and work and all these other things. But he knows that all the how-tos in the world won't help people sort out life if they don't have hope. He knows that if they don't have a future to anticipate that gives them a sense of purpose and direction for the here and now, those later instructions will fall on deaf ears. And what was true centuries ago is still true for you and I today. I think so many people are running dangerously low on hope. We feel the kinds of pressures that I've mentioned. We feel these financial difficulties or family drama or other just failing health. And that was before a global pandemic came. And so to make it through these realities of life in a broken world, we have to have hope. We have to have a future that we look forward to, that we anticipate where things are better. Because if we don't, what's the point, right? So I would argue that nothing affects the way that you and I live today more than the way you and I think about the future. And so that means that hope is vital. The only question is, what exactly are we going to put our hope in? Well, 1 Peter, as I said, is all about hope, and it's all about what life is like when you have it. And so after an opening introduction, Peter dives into where our hope, where true hope comes from, so we can put our hope where it belongs. Let's read it together, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That is one glorious sentence. Let me see if I can summarize it. I think the point that Paul is trying to, or that Peter is trying to get across to us, is that our hope is in a future inheritance that's founded on God's mercy, that's secured through Christ's resurrection, and that's kept by God's power. He's saying our hope is in this future inheritance that's founded on God's mercy, that's secured through Christ's resurrection, and that's kept by God's power. So what I want to do for these next few minutes is take 4 points to just unpack that statement so that we can begin to get our hearts around hope and so that we can put our hope where it belongs. So first, hope, our hope is in a future inheritance. I think most of us are getting a little tired of being at home. Most of us are getting a little antsy. Well, what if I told you that after, say, 3 months of quarantine, you would receive that day in your bank account $1 million? Now, the government checks are great. Whenever they come, I'm sure many of us will be grateful to receive them. It's not quite $1 million. So I bet that you and I might be able to sort out the different pains and struggles and difficulties with a little bit more of a spring in our step of all that's entailed in staying at home if we knew that at the end of those months, this massive deposit was coming. Well, even when we're not under stay-at-home orders, we work the same way. We can live through hard times when we know that we have something better to look forward to, when we have hope. And so Peter says that there is something coming at the end of all this, not just at the end of coronavirus, but at the end of all the suffering and all the trials and all the difficulties that we face in a broken world. And what's coming is an inheritance from God, a deposit, so to speak, from God himself. Now, an inheritance is something that someone passes on to you from what's theirs. So it's not something that you can earn. It's something you receive. Someone else earned it, and they saved it, and they kept it until an appointed time, often after their death, when they then pass that on to you. And the great hope of every person who trusts in Jesus is that you have an inheritance coming from God, something that Jesus earned, that he is saving and keeping in heaven to one day give to you. What better hope could there be than knowing when all this is over, again, not just this season, but all of the suffering that we experience, we have an eternal future with God, that we have an eternal home in a place where there is no suffering and no sorrow and no fear. And Peter's intentional to tell us it's unlike any other hope that we find in this world. He says it's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Many of us in the last few weeks have watched thousands of dollars literally disappear in the stock market. Some of you may have literally lost an earthly inheritance. Peter's saying is our inheritance in heaven is imperishable. It's not going anywhere. We've seen in these weeks something as simple as a handshake go from an expression of warmth and friendship and hospitality to a potential act of violence. Well, Peter's saying, your inheritance in heaven can't be defiled. We're hunkered down in our homes because our health is so fragile and can so easily fade that microscopic cells can take it from us. Peter says, we have an inheritance in heaven that nothing can diminish. Our ultimate hope then can't be in anything in this world because it can be taken. And misplaced hope is no hope at all. Our true and lasting hope is an inheritance in heaven, coming to us by right as the sons and daughters of God. Our hope is in a future inheritance, and our hope is founded on God's mercy. He says, according to God's great mercy, he's caused us to be born again. That is, given new life to a living hope. It's according to his mercy. So in other words, the reason that you can have hope is because God is merciful. By nature, it's who he is. And perhaps no one knew that more deeply than the person writing this letter, than the Apostle Peter. This past week, we've celebrated Holy Week. And that's when we remember the events of the week that led up to Jesus' death and suffering and resurrection. And on Thursday evening, we remembered that just before Jesus is betrayed by Judas, he gathers his disciples one last time. And he tells them that he's about to be betrayed and actually predicts the fact that they will desert him, that they will leave him. And he actually tells them that in order to comfort them and to tell them that it's okay and that he'll come back and restore them. But they're all shocked at being told this. But Peter is obstinate. And the Gospel of Mark records an interaction between Jesus and Peter in this moment. It says that Peter said to Jesus, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter responds emphatically and says, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Well, we fast forward a few hours. A mob shows up with clubs and guards, and they capture Jesus, and they take him off to be questioned by authorities in the middle of the night. And during his questioning, Peter's standing in a courtyard just outside. And the Gospel of Luke describes a moment where Peter abandoned Jesus. It says in the Gospel of Luke, when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them, among a crowd of people. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire, looked closely at him and said, this man also was with Jesus. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them, meaning one of Jesus' followers. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with Jesus, for he too is a Galilean. He's from the same area that Jesus is from. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while Peter was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Not long after this moment where Peter denied Jesus, Jesus paid the penalty for Peter's sins. And a couple of days later, Jesus rose again for Peter's justification. Peter knew what it was like to deny Jesus. He knew what it was like to carry guilt and shame for having done so. He also knew what it was like to have a merciful God look him in the eye and give him grace. If God saves people like Peter, he can save people like me and you. I wonder if Peter had this moment in the back of his mind as he penned the words, according to God's mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You and I cannot out-sin God's grace. The only thing that disqualifies you from mercy is rejecting it. The reason God chooses to give us hope is because he is by nature a merciful God. We have hope in a future inheritance. We have hope that's founded on the mercy of God, and we have hope that's secured through Christ's resurrection. Peter says we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, why do you think that Peter calls it living hope? Why not just say we have hope? I think it's because it's possible for us to put our hope in things that are dead. Our hope is only as secure as the thing that we've placed it in. And if these days have revealed anything, they've revealed this, that everything in this world is insecure. Everything, health, relationships, jobs, markets, whatever rhythms of life that we've come to depend on and rely on, they can all be taken away in a moment. That can be a little disorienting at first. But if it teaches us to stop putting our hope on these transient things, that realization can actually set us free. Because misplaced hope is not hope at all. Misplaced hope is fooling ourselves into thinking that we can find hope where it actually doesn't exist. And the answer to that isn't hopelessness. The right response is to put our hope then where it belongs, to put our hope where it's secure. If there was ever a time when things seemed truly hopeless, it must have been on the Saturday before Easter, the day when the Son of God was dead and buried in a tomb. But the moment that breath filled the lungs of the resurrected body of Jesus, everything changed. If Christ is risen and our hope is in him, our hope can never be taken. If even death couldn't conquer Jesus, then death can't conquer our hope. Christian hope is an ever-living hope because Christ is ever-living. So let me ask you, how secure, friend, is your hope? We can overcome so much with technology. We aren't gathering as a church this morning, and yet we're able to have this online service right there in your home through the technology that we have. We can overcome separation with Zoom calls. We can overcome diseases with treatments and vaccines. We can overcome joblessness by literally mailing out checks. But no one except Jesus has ever overcome death. Every one of us one day will face that reality, whether it's from COVID-19 in the near future or it's from some other cause decades from now. The only question is what awaits you and I on the other side. If your ultimate hope for that moment is in anything but Jesus, I want to call you today to put your hope where it belongs. Let go of the things that will be taken from you anyway, and take hold of hope that's real. Jesus lived a holy life of obedience to God that you and I have not. And he died a sinner's death that he did not deserve, but that you and I have. And he rose again so that through faith in him, we can have our sins forgiven and we can be clothed with the perfection and righteousness of Jesus, so that we can have forgiveness of our sin and freedom and restoration to a relationship with God. And we can have a hope of an eternity with him. Our hope is in a future inheritance that's founded on God's mercy, that's secured through Christ's resurrection. And we have a hope that's kept by God's power. Peter says, "You, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Friend, that means that God is not only keeping your inheritance, he's keeping you. He's not only keeping your inheritance secure, he's keeping you secure. So when you feel like you are barely hanging on, your hope is in knowing that God is holding on to you. I think all of us are grieving various losses right now. Some of us are grieving significant losses, but many of us and most of us are grieving 1,000 smaller sufferings. Today, this Easter Sunday, is not what it would normally be for many of our families. And we're grieving traditions, and we're talking to family members through a screen instead of giving them a hug. We're grieving and we're lamenting that life isn't as it ought to be. But I think we have a promise here that in and through it all, God promises to keep us. He promises to guard us and to guard our hope through these days for a salvation that is most definitely coming, for an inheritance that will one day be revealed. And so as we mourn the losses of these other griefs today, I think we have a fresh opportunity to remember that this world is not our home. That our little Easters, so to speak, have always been a shadow of the Easter to come, when we will gather together as the people of God and we will sing with one voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We have hope today, not in any of these lesser things, ultimately, even as we grieve them and as meaningful as they are. We have a hope for that day, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed. And we have a hope knowing that the merciful God who loves us and who sent his son for us is going to keep us until we get there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning, we, even in the midst of these lamentable times, we are so grateful that we have a hope that anchors us in the midst of it all. And we thank you that just as sure as Christ is risen, so sure is our hope. Lord, we thank you that we can look forward to a day when all these sorrows will be gone. We're so grateful that we can anticipate a moment where we can gather together again, not only in this life, but on that day when the inheritance that you have prepared for us and secured for us will be ours. And Father, I pray that on this Easter Sunday and on the days to come, that you would help us to rest and trust in you, to anticipate that true and lasting hope, and to know that you, our good Father, will guard us until that inheritance is ours. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.